one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, we your number one spot.
Talk to me, baby. Hey, no, that's the wrong button, that's the wrong button, that's the right button. Hey, hey, hey. Yeah, we just gonna get hit the air horns one time today. Welcome into the first day of April, man. It's April Fool's Day. Don't fall for nothing. Jesse, don't let me fall for anything.
I got you. Casey's not here, so we won't get chatty housed.
Well, that's
at least
shoot.
He's not here yet.
Yeah, I think the April Fool's joke is me sending Kenny to the Mike Bibby press conference, and you go to Kenny's social media and ESPN social media, and there's no evidence that we're actually at Mike Bibby's press conference. But that's okay.
That's our guy right there.
That's our guy. I'm sure he's having the time of his life. Didn't quite understand the assignment, but that's all right. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway, and he'll be here later.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
Slums of Sacramento.
The absolute worst, man.
You know, Casey's there. Just ask one question. So when are you guys making the switch to Jumpman?
Absolutely.
And as soon as that's done, he'll be back.
Absolutely. He's going to get on camera with Leezy and be like, man, I don't want to start none, but, you know that Jumpman.
Mike, you don't have to say nothing, Mike. You don't have to speak if you don't want to, Mike.
Just put it on Twitter or something, KC. Help a brother out. Or, as the baby daddy says, hard-hitting reporting from KC.
Boots on the ground.
I knew as soon as I asked, I was like, I need to be more specific. And then I saw Sean Cunningham picks go up, and I thought, you know what? I've been checking with my boy Kenny. No, nothing there. No evidence that Kenny's actually there. But that's all right. That's all right. It's all good, man. Trista Crick will be here. Will Z will be here. Will be with us at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. Trista at the top of the 2 o'clock hour, and then of course Jason Jones. The final hour of the show, we'll jump into what a night it was at Sutter Health Park. A very cold night at Sutter Health Park yesterday. I mean, vibes were there, and then they were taken away quickly.
Yeah, then it was 4-0.
Man, it was tough. Yeah. And that escalated quickly. So that game went the way a lot of us expected to last night, didn't it? Not the one at Sutter Health Park, but the one in Indiana.
Did it though?
So Kenny thought that they couldn't keep up, thought they didn't have a chance. But as that game went along, I kept thinking, now, admittedly, you know, work with me here. Admittedly, my attention was split. That game started at 4. We're doing a live radio show on 102.5, but you know, the attention needed, this is a horrible thing to say, the attention needed to do the 102.5 show is a whole lot different than the attention needed to do this show. So I can divert my attention to the screen quite a bit while Sexy Red is rapping or whatever it may be.
Shout out to Sexy Red.
Always. And I was like, okay, they're playing well enough, and I kept trying to digest, are the Kings playing really well, or is Indiana just not hitting shots yet? And I thought the Kings were playing really well. And there was a moment where I was like, I'll take this. The Pacers cut the lead, and the Kings immediately, I think they cut it to maybe 2 or 3 or something, and the Kings immediately were back to 9, back to 11. I'm like, okay. They feel it. They got this. I think that was late in the third. And then the fourth quarter comes around, and you just start to feel the switch. You start to, like, Obi Toppin sitting threes, like.
Well, that's the thing. They were kind of just walking them down at that point.
And that's what it felt like. And you know what they were doing that upset me the most is it felt like the Pacers knew it. It felt like the Pacers knew they were walking them down. It felt like the Pacers' body language for 6 straight minutes was like, we're fine. We got the 16, doesn't matter. 10 points, whatever.
Saying,
9.
How control were you really in then?
It felt like they were in complete control of that final quarter. And the Tyrese, I thought the Tyrese 3 was the game. That's not being Ladilo here and you know, telling a story after the story was told. But what I didn't expect was a 24-second shot clock violation after that. That is just mind-numbing to me. You give up the go-ahead three after playing the way that you did. You give up the go-ahead three. And you don't even get a shot off on the next possession. Like, what is your offense doing at that point? You can't even get a shot off.
Shout out Anthony Slater, Nostradamus.
Man!
No matter for the Sacramento Kings.
I do not understand how Anthony Slater took that before the season started. After the Beam Team year and maybe the... I don't remember last year quite as much. But with the addition of DeMar DeRozan, you've got clutch time players in at the time, DeMar and De'Aaron.
Yeah.
Anthony Slater goes on The Athletic and makes a prediction about the Sacramento Kings, saying this season is going to come down to tight games. Whether they can they win them? And we thought that was the stupidest thing Anthony Slater has ever said.
Bro's a genius.
The man is a genius. The man is absolutely a genius. How that was his thought going into the season, and how that thought, if the Kings are, let me pull up the standings right here. This might be a bit off. Let's see, six games. If the Kings are 500 in games, I had a number. I think it was from Deuce today. Here it is. They're 4-8 in games decided by three or less. That's not even considered a tight game. What's the? I think the tight game number is five. Clutch game numbers are five. Deuce had it down to three. That's 4-8. That's 12 games. You're 6-6. You're comfortably in the play-in. You're absolutely in the ninth spot. And the Clippers game isn't outrageous, especially if one of those victories is the one against the Clippers, which, man, much like the Denver game earlier this year, much like the fumbled DeMar DeRozan pass at the basket.
That one hurt.
Well, that was the beginning of the end of Mike Brown. KC spotted it. I didn't. He said they left the floor looking different that game. And I thought, it'd be fine. It's a tough loss. You don't want to lose that game. You're coming off winning a couple in a row. You got to feel good at that point. The whole complex, everything changed after that Denver Nuggets game. Everything. Because they went on to lose the next six. The first five cost Mike Brown his job. The fifth one was the De'Aaron Fox, Jaden Ivey play. That changes the entire complexion of the season. The Jaden Ivey play, I don't want to say it amplifies some of the frustration surrounding De'Aaron Fox. But you beat Denver in that game. How much changes over the course of the next 5-6? Is Mike Brown still the head coach? Does that losing streak happen? Is Mike Brown the head coach? Still. And then you go back and you look at that Kawhi Leonard shot. You talk about games that you're playing well enough to win. You had won, I think, five in a row at that point. You're playing well enough to beat the Clippers. This is a back and forth. This is a fight. I don't know why these teams fight so much, but this is an absolute fight between these two teams. And Kawhi Leonard's shot bounces, and drops. And the Kings lose that game 111-110. Since then, they've got blown out by the Knicks, blown out by the Warriors, blown out by the Suns. They beat the Grizzlies. They beat the Cavs. They got beat by the Bulls, blew a double-digit lead to the Bucks. I should say blew a double-digit lead to the Bulls because that happened. Got blown out by the Celtics, beat the Blazers, got their asses kicked by the Orlando Magic, and then lost last night to Indiana. It's fair to say that Clippers game, I don't know why, but that Clippers game seemed to have changed some things. That shot from Kawhi Leonard rolls off. You've won six in a row when you're coming home to take on the New York Knicks. Now, maybe nothing is different except that game. That's certainly possible. Same thing with Denver. Maybe nothing is different except that single game. But it's hard to not look at that gut-wrenching loss that amounted to, I said five more, it amounted to five more losses, four more cost Mike Brown his job. And it's hard to not look at this Clippers loss and then see blowout, blowout, blowout. You didn't even look, second night of a back-to-back, all right, you get beat up by the Knicks, you got your ass kicked by the Knicks earlier this year, maybe it's a bad matchup. Fine, we can make excuses, we can do whatever. All right, fine. Catch your breath, your rivals come in, they beat your ass last time. Settle down. What can you do? You get embarrassed. Absolutely embarrassed at the Chase Center. Okay, regroup. You get beat by a Phoenix team that barely has a pulse. And so, again, it's hard. It could very well just be a one-game difference or a two-game difference. But you talk about swings in a season. I mean, you can't have it both ways. If firing Mike Brown and hiring Doug Christie caused a positive swing in the season, you can't expect us to not look at negative swings in the season. Prior to the Doug Christie hire, it was the Denver Nuggets game. Since the Doug Christie hire, it at least appears it was this Los Angeles Clippers game. Not just because of the number of losses, but the way that they lost. You've got blowout losses, and then you've got losses where you've led. You've got losses where you've led by double digits. You've got losses in games you shouldn't have lost. You've got losses in game in which you didn't appear to have a closer. And we're supposed to have one. I thought DeMar was fantastic last night through most of the game. I thought the Kings completely fell apart in the last few minutes, not just offensively, but defensively as well. Unfortunately, we're going to have to talk a lot more about this, and we certainly will, because I got questions for the Keon Truthers. We're going to talk to Will Z at the top of the hour. We'll talk about what went down at Sutter Health Park. Again, Trista Crick will be with us. Jason Jones will be with us. KC will be with us when we wraps up Mike Bibby's press conference. We're thrilled that you're here with us on the Odyssey app, 98.5 FM HD2. We're on ESPN 1320. We're just getting started. We'll open the Elk Grove Kia talk line for you as well. 916-909-1320. Steeler and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. I guess I need to spend more time on Twitter. I'm just catching up.
Shout out, Casey.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, Alan says you cooked up that post taking a shot at Oakland unprompted when you could have just celebrated your city. Cut it out, man. Oh boy. All right, man. Okay. Well, I'll wait for Kenny to get in here, but I guess the Hell in a Cell match is back on. Goodness gracious. I like Allen, man. Maybe he overreacted a little bit right there, but it's all right. KC's out at Mike Bibby's press conference. I can confirm I did get a picture of Mike and KC together. Leezy out there doing all of his work. We appreciate Leezy for all of his great work. You'll see some great stuff hitting social media here pretty soon. Really excited about this Mike Bibby hiring. We'll talk about that later. I'm so excited for Sac State. I'm a big Sac State fan. I'm a big, specifically a big Mark Orr fan, a big Luke Wood fan. I'm just really excited for where that university is going, man. So we'll talk more about Mike's introductory press conference here in just a little bit. Of course, the story at the top of our minds today is another frustrating loss for the Sacramento Kings. I think we're at 10 of 13 now. Kings have lost 10 of the last 13 games. So I got a question. Kings started the game well yesterday. 1-point lead after one. I think they had a lead at halftime, maybe 4 or 5-point lead at halftime. You know, the lead fluctuated throughout the game. They led by as many as 16. Pacers led by double digits at a certain point in the game as well. But we saw Malik really, really struggle with his shot yesterday. Like, bad. He was 2 of 14 yesterday. And one of those shots, I think, was... I don't want to call it inconsequential. It's one of those extend the game shots where he cuts the lead from 6-3, but they got to go back to the foul line. The Pacers wind up hitting those foul shots. I think there was 6 seconds left or something like that. So the Kings really have no shot after that. So it was essentially a meaningless basket in the end. It kept your interest peaked for another, you know, 45, 60 seconds or whatever. But in the end, it was a meaningless basket. So through the first 47 minutes and 50 seconds, Malik was 1 of 13. Keon was 3 of 4. Now, do with that what you want. And I'm asking a question without trying to start an argument. We've seen Keon Ellis start, and I'm going to attempt to make a point, and I know sometimes when you have two very passionate camps, a point doesn't matter. But there are people who have been adamant for weeks, I've seen enough. Keon Ellis needs to start. All right. I mean, that's cool. I made an argument at the time. I thought I made a good point at the time. No one cared. It was fine. I shut the hell up. Mind my business. Then Malik gets hurt. Or he doesn't get hurt. Sorry, he gets sick. Keon starts. And Malik returns a couple of games later. Doug keeps him in the starting lineup. All right. So now Keon's starting. Did yesterday's game look different because Keon Ellis started? That's a genuine question I'm asking. I'm asking the truthers out there. Fill your boy. Help a brother out. I'm not trying to be condescending. I'm genuinely asking. Did the game look different because Keon Ellis started? Have any of the games that Keon Ellis started looked different to you?
Did Keon Ellis start against the Bulls or the Bucks?
Did Keon Ellis start against the Bulls or the Bucks? I have to backtrack to see. Nope, Malik started versus the Bulls. Malik did not play versus the Bucks, so that must be the game where he got sick. He didn't play versus the Bucks. He did not play versus the Celtics.
Point being is that it doesn't matter if it's Keon or Monk or me, you, Manny's in the chat house, Akira and John Poles. It doesn't matter. It's going to look the same because this is who the Sacramento Kings are.
And that was my original point. There isn't, oh, Keon not starting. That's a problem. That's the problem. Keon's not starting. That's the problem. That's why the starting lineup is so bad. That's why they're giving up so many open threes. That's why this is happening. That's why A, B, C, D, and F is happening. All right, cool. Cool. The record is still the same. Everything is still the same. So what are we arguing about? There isn't a singular problem with Sacramento. That was the original point. You want to change the lineup? You want to change the lineup with 10 games left in the season? Fine. Doug Christie thinks it's the best move to start Keon Ellis over Malik Monk? Fine. But if you think that is the singular problem of the Sacramento Kings, you're fooling yourself. This team has a series of problems. Now, just because you have multiple problems doesn't mean you don't take steps to address them. Maybe the idea is you address one at a time. All right. If you believe that Keon not starting was a problem, then you address that first. I see Aaron here. A lot of people feel the way Aaron does. You can't have Malik, DeMar, LaVine, and Domas in the starting lineup. It's so imbalanced. Aaron, that's a perfectly fine point here in the chatty house. Jump in with your thoughts over here. YouTube.com/ESPN1320. Join the chatty house. Great group of people right there. But the entire roster is imbalanced. That's the overarching point. Now, if you can correct the starting lineup with a little bit of balance because of Keon Ellis, that's fine. That's fine. Keon Ellis' defense means so much to that starting lineup. Keon Ellis' ability to be effective without the ball, terrific. Love it. Love it. But in the end, is it winning you more games? It's not. There's a series of issues that the Sacramento Kings have to correct. And the whole point a week ago or 2 weeks ago or whenever, for whatever reason, this conversation got so loud was it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter with this amount of time left in the season. Of course, maybe Doug got a little alley-oop here. Maybe Doug got a little alley-oop with Malik being under the weather and him having the, okay, I have to start Keon here. And if I like what I see, well, I can stick with that. And it won't look too crazy. He even said when Malik was, I guess, accidentally introduced with the starting lineup, he said that day when Keon actually started, he was like, yeah, we thought we'd kind of ease Malik back into this. Like, Malik has been ill. He's been under the weather. We've all been under the weather. We've all been sick. We know one of the last things, okay, we're not sniffing anymore. We're not coughing anymore. Whatever Malik had that he wasn't feeling well, it was enough to miss basketball games. So it was obviously serious. But what's the last thing to return for us? We're not even professional athletes. We just go to work. We raise families, we're parents, we do all of that stuff. What's the last thing to return? Our energy levels. So it makes sense to just throw the line out. Ah, we're going to ease him back into this thing. We're going to give him some time. And then, you know, shout out to James Hamm and the rest of the crew that was out there that day. James immediately like, well, is this what we're doing moving forward? And again, credit to Doug Christie. He was honest about it. He was like, I'm not sure. I'm open to it. He didn't close the door on going back to Malik Monk. He didn't close the door on sticking with Keon. He didn't do any of that. He said, I'm open to it. And maybe Doug in that moment knew what he wanted to do. Maybe in that moment, Doug at the very least had an idea of what he wanted to do. But we're seeing Keon Ellis start now. And my whole point in this is the result of the game is the same. It doesn't mean don't start Keon Ellis, by the way. It doesn't mean, oh, that was a bad move by Doug Christie. It means this roster is frustratingly imbalanced. It means there are going to be nights like Malik 2-for-14 yesterday is brutal. That's the... You can't have a player with an off night. You can't have a player who is shooting poorly, like not one. Because if you do, you start looking at this like, oh man, if Keon just could have hit a couple of shots, a couple more shots. Hell, in Keon's case, if he would have just taken a couple more shots. Oh, if Malik could have gotten a couple to drop. You know, you start rationing out like, man, you know what number is killing me right now? The Pacers were 13 of 13 from the foul line. 13 of 13 in a game that they won 111 to 109. Not very good at math. That's 2 points. The Kings were 11 of 17. They missed 6 free throws to Indiana 0. Neither team took an extraordinary amount of foul shots. No one was taking 25, 26, 27, 28 foul shots. 17 foul shots, 13 foul shots. The Pacers hit all 13 of their free throws, including those clutch ones late. The Kings missed 6 and lost by 2. We could talk about Malik Monk going 2-for-14. We could talk about Keon Ellis not getting enough shots when his shot appears to be effective. Maybe that's a conversation. Maybe that's an entirely different conversation in itself. Maybe there's another conversation we need to have about what Doug Christie expects of these guys that they might just be incapable of doing. So Keegan Murray took 5 threes yesterday. Nobody took double-digit threes yesterday. As a matter of fact, the team as a whole took 27 threes. That's like half of what Doug is asking them to do. And like, I just want to pull DC aside and say, bro, you're asking them to do something they appear to be incapable of doing. Because you could kiss my ass before you can convince me that the Pacers stopped them. Pacers didn't stop them from shooting threes last night. They didn't take them. And this is where the people who don't like DeMar DeRozan come into play. This is where the people who would say, well, you're asking DeMar DeRozan to play a style of basketball that he doesn't play. Even though DeMar did take 6 three-pointers last night, which I think was the second most on the team to Zach LaVine. But you're asking this team to play a way that they don't play. This is exactly the way Keegan played 2 years ago. The shot's not there for him anymore. He took 11 field goals yesterday. 5 of them were threes. What was it a couple of nights ago? Oh, shades of what Keegan Murray could be. No, that was not shades of what Keegan Murray could be when he went off the other night. That was just a really great night from Keegan Murray. Not the same thing. I think we married ourselves to that thought of, oh, Keegan could be this. Nah, it's really dope when Keegan has nights like that. But that's not who he is. We got to stop marrying ourselves to that thought. That's not who he is. So when he has those nights, it's fire. It's great. It's a net positive for Sacramento. But is that what Keegan is as a basketball player? No, probably not. But we've married ourselves to that idea. And I think Doug has married himself to the idea of this being a three-point shooting basketball team. And at this point, again, at this point, it doesn't matter. Everything we're talking about because we're Kings fans, right? We're talking about because this is a show based in Sacramento and the Kings are still our franchise. They're still our love. We still focus on the NBA. This is what we do. This is what we talk about. We gather at the barbershop. We sit, we put our feet up, and we exchange some ideas. That's what we do. But what does Doug think this group is? We talk about what this group is. What does Doug think this group is? He thinks this is a three-point shooting team. He wants this to be a three-point shooting team. Are they? I mean, to the levels in which DC wants them to be, are they? Because all evidence is, no, they're not. Or, maybe once in a while. But if you're something once in a while, that's not what you are. 27 threes last night. How many was it versus Orlando? 28. 28 threes. How many was it versus Portland in a game they won by a ton? 27. Another game they got blown out in. Boston. 24. They haven't even sniffed the number that Doug has asked them to sniff on a regular basis in 5 games. You get to the Bucks, you're at 38, you're still not there. You're still not there. So what is this basketball team? I have no clue. I don't know. I don't think they know. And truth be told, they're not going to figure it out in the next 7 games. If they play 8 games, they're not going to figure it out in 8 or 9. Oh, and if by the grace of God, they somehow play 10 to 14 more games, 10 to 17 more games, hey, salute. Defy the odds. They're not going to figure it out. It's just a question of will they play well enough to to win basketball games. Seven left. Can they win enough to get to the play-in? Can they win enough to extend their season a couple of more games? Your guess is as good as mine, man. The frustrating part, the most frustrating part about last night, and we've seen it. We've seen it so regularly and so, we've seen it so regularly that we don't know, we can't make heads or tails of this. The ups, the downs, the blowouts, the close games. We've seen them so regularly play well enough to win and lose. We've seen them play well enough to beat the Indiana Pacers. We've seen them, a playoff team, a certified playoff team. We've seen them play well enough to beat the Chicago Bulls, who's just a freaking playing team. We've seen them play well enough to beat the Milwaukee Bucks. The Clippers. The Nuggets. We've seen them play well enough to beat all of those teams in being unable to do it. Y'all know what to do with that. They can't close? Well, okay. We saw DeMar close the Dallas Mavericks. That had to be one of the most spectacular performances of the season, no? It was actually, to be fair, it was DeMar and Malik. DeMar closed it, got that game to overtime, which was just spectacular. And Malik got him in overtime. It was amazing. But it seems like it can't happen regularly. It can't happen consistently. And if something can't happen consistently, then what are we doing? If you can't do something consistently, you're a 36 and 39 basketball team. And that's where you are. That's what we're talking about. That's why we're hanging on every single. That's why we're hanging on every single game. That's why we're moving on from a tough Indiana Pacers team, and we're moving on to a Washington Wizards team. Anybody feel confident about this Washington Wizards team? Anybody, take that back. Anybody feel confident about this Washington Wizards game? I don't. That doesn't mean I don't think they can win. It just means I don't know what to expect from them on a night-to-night basis. Kenny said yesterday, this game against the, I don't think they can win. I think the matchup is too tough. And there was a moment when those threes started dropping where we're like, crap. You sense it. Every Kings fan watching it sensed it as Obi Toppin is hitting three after three after three. As Aaron Nesmith is getting to the foul line, as all these things are happening, like, okay, every Kings fan sensed this. They felt this. They knew this. But Kenny said it was a bad matchup. Okay, but they fought. They were right there. As we just said a second ago, they were good enough to win. But couldn't. So, that now brings up the question about the Washington Wizards game. Yo, we saw them. Yo, we asked. That Blazers game. Things are south. They don't look good. This is the first team you've been favored against in two games. It's one of, let's see, you've been favored two times in the last six games. One of them is against the Blazers. Go out there and beat them. No one was saying beat them by 20. No one was saying beat them by double digits. It was go out there on your home floor, last game of a seven-game homestand, and win the game. And they did exactly that. They were terrible in the paint versus Boston. They were great versus Portland. Terrific. That was that game. What's the Wizards game going to be like? They're better than the Wizards. We all know they're better than the Wizards. You got teams across the league shutting things down. We saw New Orleans shutting things down. Zion's done. CJ's done. You got teams. You talk about tanking. Those are teams looking for draft picks. Those are teams looking for the highest draft order. They want the best odds. Utah's got 16 wins. Washington's got 16 wins. New Orleans is at 21. Charlotte's at 19. Philadelphia, desperate to hold on to their pick. Absolutely desperate to have the one thing that potentially bring improvement to them next year. We saw Joel Embiid shut down a month ago. We saw Paul George shut down a month ago. It's not what the Kings are doing. The Kings are competing. But that should make no one feel better because we have no idea how they're going to compete on a night-to-night basis. They looked great for 77 seconds yesterday. The Tyrese three, the 24-second shot clock violation, and then who was it? Oh, it was the Siakam three. Oh, they were dancing on the Kings after that. They were dancing on the Kings after the Siakam three. They knew, and if you go back and you watch that game, you go back and you watch like the last 6 seconds or so, they knew. They were moving on that basketball floor like they knew exactly what was happening. I'm sure Tyrese told them. Hell, Tyrese doesn't have to tell them. Tyrese wasn't here with this squad. They could see it. They're going to fold. They can't close. Hell, they could just look at the record. They could look at the record to see. They're not going to close this. They're not going to be able to close this. And they didn't. And that's why so many, I don't know what's more frustrating for Kings fans. To be completely honest, I really don't. Y'all could tell me. Jump in the chatty house on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, wherever you at. Salute. We appreciate you for watching, listening. We know it's tough when your team stinks, but y'all are still here. We still talking. I don't know what's worse. Playing that well for 47 minutes and dropping it, or looking like you did against Orlando, losing by 30. One gives you hope and takes it away. The other, you could check out in the first quarter. We'll come back. We'll talk about what happened at Sutter Health Park yesterday as well. Vibes were up for a little bit. Plus, Will Z joins us. Man, Will Z has got some thoughts. He's got some numbers to back it up here on why this season has been so frustrating for the Sacramento Kings. That's coming up next here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. All right, man. Kenny's on his way back, by the way. He texted me about 15 minutes ago. He's on his way back from Sac State. He was a part of the press conference to introduce Mike Bibby as the new head coach of the Sac State Hornets. Of course, we'll talk more about that when KC gets here. Shout out to Sean Cunningham, too. Shout out to the media crew here in Sacramento who's had a busy couple of days. Obviously, so many of them got to cover the Sacramento Kings while they're on the road, got to cover them from afar. But a big night in Sacramento yesterday at Sutter Health Park. Sean Cunningham, I don't know how or why Sean was at Sutter Health Park when the sun went up, and then I assume he was there all night. I mean, you know, through the game, and then he was up. Not that it was super early. I think it was an 11:30 start time, but he was out at the introductory press conference for Mike Bibby. I have a ton of respect for Sean Cunningham. I think he is one of this city's absolute best when it comes to covering sports. One of my favorite people too, but one of the city's absolute best when it comes to covering everything that's going on here in the city. So shout out to Sean Cunningham. He's not listening because he's working, but shout out to Sean, man. It was an amazing night. It was a star-studded affair. Everybody was there except for me. Everybody was at Sutter Health Park yesterday. I know KC got a chance to get out there after our meetings. We had a long day. So Sutter Health Park, KC, he's at least headed in the direction of home when he goes out there. For me, we didn't get out of here till after 7. We have meetings on every Monday. We meet with Complex regarding our KSFM stuff. We had a lot to go over yesterday. We had some frustrations to vent. We just had some things to go over. So the meeting was kind of a little bit longer than it normally is. And as the meeting is going on, the Kings game is already over. So I'm like, all right, I think we could pull this off. Like, we're good. And then the meeting just keeps going. And as the meeting goes longer, I'm getting hungrier. I'm getting more tired. The adrenaline of the two shows is starting to wear off. And then by the time I get up to leave, meeting wasn't over, by the way, when I left. I'm just like, y'all are talking. I know he's listening. Your boy KC hates Kendrick Lamar. He refuses to say those words out loud. He hates that dude so much. It's hilarious. I left. I literally walked out when he said Chris Brown was going to draw a bigger stadium tour than Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar is doing stadiums all over the United States. He's doing 4 and in Canada as well, at least one. He's doing 4 shows in Los Angeles that are virtually impossible to get tickets to. SoFi Stadium, Crypto. Not that. No. Not the Forum or whatever it's called now. No. SoFi Stadium. Can't get a ticket to it. Casey talking about, man, you're going to do 20,000. Chris Brown going to do more. I was like, I'm leaving. Until this man utters the words, I hate Kendrick Lamar, I'm never discussing music with him again. I'm just leaving. I thought that was so funny. I like Chris Brown, too. I don't know that Chris Brown can pull this stadium tour off that he's doing. Like, that was the conversation. Chris Brown announced the stadium tour yesterday with Summer Walker and who was it? Bryson Tiller. I thought, man, can he do SoFi? Can he do Petco Park? Can he do Allegiant Stadium? Because he's got all of those. And Casey said, man, I think he'll do more than Kendrick. Kendrick's going to do like 20,000. I'm out. Man, by that point, it was past 7. I was exhausted, and I was starving. It's like, I'm out. So I got to the car. It's like, all right, I don't know the parking situations down there. It's going to take at minimum. I've already missed first pitch. It's going to take at minimum 30 minutes, probably 40 to get down there. 30 and some change, not 40. And it's one of those things where you just sit in the car, and you look ahead, and you go, I'm going to go home. So I missed the star-studded affair at Sutter Health Park. I saw Sarah Hodges was there. Our man Marshall Harris was there. He did his show for his Chicago station again from our studio here this morning before headed back to Chicago later on today. But everyone was out there. Vivek, in his most awkward way possible, gave us the play ball line. And Major League Baseball was underway in Sacramento. And it was great. I opened up the Discord channel and was able to see how many Chatty House members were out there. That was pretty dope to see. I think we're going to see a lot of that this year. Someone asked me today, like, obviously they got their ass kicked. Like, one bad inning. It was like, oh, it's just set it off. It's done. But I don't think that matters. That's my opinion. That's a question I'm asking you. Are we invested in what the A's are actually doing? Because I don't. From my perspective, I'm not. Like, I didn't think, all right, this team that has been ass for the last 5 years is going to, or however many years it's been, is going to come in here and be super competitive because they're here in Sacramento. No, I didn't think that. Didn't think anything of the sort. All I thought is Major League Baseball is here. I'm going to go sit at a ballpark. I know the gimmick is I don't like baseball. That's not to break kayfabe. That's kind of a work. I do enjoy baseball. I'm not going to do what Kenny and Jesse do. I'm not going to get MLB TV. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to spend a Sunday afternoon watching the Giants play. I'm not going to do that either. But if there's an intriguing pitching matchup, I'll lock into that. Intriguing game, I'll lock into that. But if I get the opportunity to go to a baseball game, oh, I'll do that. Especially if I like the ballpark. I never really love going to Pac Bell Park or Oracle Park, the Giants Park. I never really enjoyed that park. It's on the right day, gorgeous. The wrong day, windy. It's cold. But get me at a ballpark. I love it. And I'm excited to go to Sutter Health Park to just hang out. I'm excited to go watch Major League Baseball. I don't care how they perform. I was watching non-Sacramento media tweet about this because I was curious, or I not tweet about it, write about it. I was curious how it would be covered from people outside of our market, outside of our home, outside of Sacramento. And for the most part, I feel like it was covered pretty fairly. I mean, obviously, the media conditions were brought, not the media conditions, but the media area conditions were brought up. And I'm sure most of you saw that on Twitter. I think it came up on our show yesterday. Our guy Ben Ross tweeted the picture out where it looked like a metal trailer. It's like, oh, that does not look comfortable. And I really hope that thing is air conditioned, can come like June or July. It's going to be tough. This is a tough shed. Yeah, thank you, Collins. This is what it looked like. They were doing media inside a tough shed. But outside of that, I mean, it from in for those that were there, tell me if I'm wrong. There were maybe from what I read, a few Let's Go Oakland chants. There were definitely some sell shirts, but it was nothing like overwhelming. There was no angry Oakland fan base that took over. And I saw the exchange between Alan Stiles, who was, you know, again, not to break kayfabe, we're all kind of friends with each other. We are all friends with each other in the media. We all work together. Like, we all see each other at all of these events. It's a very small group. There aren't a ton of people here. Like, you know, all of the media people here by name. And I saw Alan took offense to some things Kenny tweeted about, you know, numbers in Oakland versus the first night in Sacramento. And I'll let Kenny address that. But it's going to be a different, like, it's you know, someone else's. I'm sensitive to Oakland A's fans. I'm very sensitive to the city of Oakland because they've lost all of their sports franchises. You know, I get that the Warriors aren't that far away. I get that the Warriors still pander to the city of Oakland. But the fact is that they're in San Francisco. There's the Raiders are in Las Vegas. I get there's still a lot of Raider fans. I guess Raider fans don't care where they play. I know some do. Roddy, I'm sorry. But I know a lot of Raider fans don't care where they play. They care about the Raiders. Most A's fans cared about Oakland. And I think the people who are wrapped up in the A's here in Sacramento are strictly because it's Sacramento. It's not about taking shots at Oakland. It's not about not being sympathetic to what they're going on. But they stopped going to games. Now, again, I understand Fisher made you stop going to games. I promise you I get that. Probably the plan. It was probably the major. It was the plot of Major League happening in real life. But it's Fisher, and he's a bit of a, I don't know, man. He just doesn't strike me as the sharpest tool in the shed. And he didn't map this out right. And he needed a temporary home. All right, I'll take it. You going to give me Major League Baseball for 2 years, 3 years? And I'm trusting you to get this deal with Las Vegas together. Nothing in Las Vegas seems to be happening. They're putting all of these renderings up. It's some of the stupidest. Every time they put that rendering up on the A's website with the comments turned off or on the Twitter page with the comments turned off, I'm like, oh, you can't be serious. You're going to build that in the desert. Y'all just took some graphic designer. You took, you know, Oakland A's guy is dope and said, hey, make me a rendering for the dopest stadium you've ever seen. Oh, it doesn't matter if it's structurally possible. Sure, where are we putting it? I don't know. Just put it in Vegas somewhere. All right, bro. I'm trusting y'all to get this done. Because by all accounts, Vegas doesn't even want you. And when I say Vegas, I mean the legislature, the decision makers in Vegas. They saw you and saw, like, look at his mark. Take his money. It's not the this isn't the Raiders. This isn't bring professional football to Las Vegas. This isn't Adam Silver and likely LeBron James where they're saying bring professional basketball to Las Vegas. It's not that. They're looking around at their WNBA champion competitor, just perennial finals team. They're looking at that. They're looking at their future of the NBA. They're looking at that stadium they got. Again, we were talking about the Chris Brown tour to open this up. We were talking about the Kendrick Lamar tour. Both stops at Allegiant Stadium. There's a million venues in Las Vegas. Oh, so-and-so is doing this. So-and-so is doing that. Where? You never know. Because there's so many. There's one stadium. And that thing is gorgeous. But they don't care whether the A's are there or not. They saw Fisher. They took his money, and they're like, if we can figure it out, we'll figure it out. If we can't, whatever.